It's 11 o'clock. It's Sunday night. It's WGBB Freeport. It's Dave's Gone By. It's too late to change the dial. You're stuck. Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, whirling around at night.
Well, there goes the neighborhood. Welcome, everyone. Welcome on this Sunday night, August 17th, 2008, to the 287th episode of Dave's Gone By. That's right, we have done 287 of these and counting and going strong. Actually, not so strong the previous couple of weeks. I mean, last week I was here and had a great time doing a live show with Dave J., who is an instrumentalist and a musician, and he had that show in the Midtown Theater Festival, John Paul George Ringo, which I'm kind of excited to read some reviews about. I've got to check the internet on that. But in the preceding 2 weeks, I wasn't here, mostly because my back was locked and in lumbago traction, and I was just absolutely in agony, could not get here. And one of the results of that is that a program that I wanted to do back on July 27th was literally out the window, and I had to play a pre-recorded show instead. It wasn't a repeat, but it was material that I got recorded just in case. It was one of those things. You always kind of have a just-in-case. You can't get to the station, you get something ready instead. But the upshot of that was all the stuff that I wanted to do that night, I couldn't do. So, tonight is the night. Tonight is sort of makeup night here on Dave's Gone By, and which is unfortunate because I really hate makeup. But this is a good kind of thing. This is the night we bring Tom Soames, finally, to the neighborhood. Tom Soames is a pet expert, and specifically an expert on when your dog or your cat is in crisis. What do you do if you've got a real problem, a real health medical emergency with your animal? And he gives you all the suggestions, what to do as far as, A, how to deal with the animal specifically, and also the numbers to keep, and well, certainly not to panic, but all that kind of stuff. Now, I realize this is kind of far afield for material that we do on Dave's Gone By, because this is generally a comedy talk show that involves also musicians and theater and things like that. But, A, I am a dog owner. I own two dogs at home that we love very, very much. And B, my wife kind of wanted me to do this segment because she was interested. We love our dogs. She was interested in the topic. She wanted to know what to do in case of an emergency. And also because I really felt that it would be one thing if I interviewed him, but it would be much better if Tom Soames could talk directly to one of my dogs. So, instead of talking to me, Tom Soames will be interviewing my dog, Bowels, on Dave's Gone By tonight. Now, someone who has his own set of rather magnificent bowels happens to be back in the studio with us on this Sunday evening. He's been gone for a couple of weeks for his own reasons, but we're happy to have him. Our guest, co-host, Jeff Goodman.
Well, I was actually ready up until last week. Last week I went away to Vegas.
You went away to Vegas,
but
yeah.
I wanted to just say that, does this mean that tonight is Soames time?
Oh,
and the barking is easy.
Well, you know, something in the way he barks. It barks just like, no, oh, no. Yes, these are the jokes, folks. It's 11 o'clock. On the, you know, on a Sunday night. Nobody cares what we do on the radio.
I just come from triple bingo.
Oh, God. What is triple? Is it triple X bingo? I could do that.
Well,
I have no idea what.
If you want to see those women naked, be my guest.
Oh, this was at your temple, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to. No. No. God, no. I don't even want to see them with clothes on. But how is triple bingo?
Triple bingo was lots of fun.
All right.
I called the quickie.
But what the hell is the difference between, like, bingo, double bingo, And triple bingo. And God help us, quadruple bingo.
Triple bingo means they were $3,000 pots.
Woo!
Mm-hmm. We had a diamond filled in for $1,000. We had a snowflake for $1,000. And we had an open house for $1,000.
I have no idea what any of that means.
Those are just the way the bingo cards form.
Oh, I can never understand that. I understand across, sideways, down. You fill them all
and the hard way.
Bingo.
The hard way means no free space.
Yeah, okay, right. You don't get that little thing in the center. But when I went to a bingo game the last time, they had to be in this shape, and it was in the thing of a pipe, and I was like, what the hell is this?
Oh, you know, we had the kite. We had a kite tonight.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting to have a kite in the temple.
But in other words, if you get, like, in that game, if you get all the way, like, up and down, a regular up and down,
it doesn't count.
That's bingo is bingo. Leave it alone. What people have to get these shapes and diagrammatic.
It's fun bingo. We had the big X. The big X was, I think, $500 tonight, maybe $750.
All right. Well, an X, what is it, across the board, X, and mm-hmm. then,
And we had a crazy L. Could go any way.
What was crazy about the
crazy
L?
Crazy L is an L anyway.
Oh, I get it. So it can be can be upside down?
Yeah.
Oh, so essentially it's a 45-degree angle is what it really is.
Actually, it would be 90-degree angle.
Yes, you're right.
Welcome to the neighborhood, Dave.
It would be a crazy V, wouldn't it? This is why I failed geometry, ladies and gentlemen, and physics. But anyway, no, I should have failed, but the teachers, you know, gave me a mulligan.
What was her name?
Her name was Crazy V. It was a he, and I hated the man. Anyway.
You didn't? He was nice to him, passed you?
He passed me, but I didn't like the... Anyway, don't have time to...
I thought you'd shout out a nice shout out to him, and now
I'll shout out to his, I'm assuming, his bones.
Why? He doesn't... Your teacher
25 years ago, and he was not young then.
He still could be living.
Very possibly. But you know what? He wouldn't remember 45 to 90 degree angle now either.
He might.
The only shapes he'd be making is with his straw and his little sippy cup.
You are so mean.
I am. Yeah, of course I'm mean.
I hope you get all these diseases when you grow up.
Thank you.
I want to see Dave with Alzheimer's.
Well, thank you very much. I almost said the F word there to you. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not going to be there with the napkin to get the dribble.
I would hope. No, I would hope not. You'll be there down below getting something else. Wiggle! I don't know.
Ew.
To our sponsors. Let's get off this topic right now.
I forgot who they are, except for Minuteman Press.
Well, how could you forget Hewlett Minuteman Press? Why wouldn't you forget Hewlett Minuteman Press?
Because not only are they copy kings of Broadway.
Yeah.
But they're next to the defunct Loewen Shoe Store.
That's right. Pretty soon, hopefully, you'll have another store to compare them to or put them
next
to.
We want a funk store next to them.
Oh, we want a funky store! Because no matter what store is next to you, Minuteman Press, doesn't matter. It could be a McDonald's, God forbid, or it could be a beautiful French restaurant or a new Staples or something.
You know what I think it should
be? No matter what happens, Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% off any copy job, big or small.
And they can go next door and ask for the same 10% off, but they probably won't get it.
Oh, to the other store? No. Well, unless we make a deal with them and they get 15 and then we can... Bounce the stores again. Yeah. What are our other sponsors, dude?
Well,
what theater magazine have you been subscribing to and is the Bible of
the Bible of Broadway?
Yeah,
would be Theater Insiders.
You have been gone for a while.
Tired. I've been
performing arts insider. To which you actually subscribe and you still don't know the
name. I love it too. That's the odd thing. To me, I just call it Dave's Mag.
Right, well, yeah, I'm involved in the magazine, and very proudly so.
And Dave writes very well in the magazine. He's an excellent, excellent writer.
Thank you, man. Thanks. And, now, granted, the magazine was around long before I came into it.
But it only got good when you started.
It got a lot better. Let's give Richmond Shepherd a little bit of credit. He was editing it for about 10 years. But then I came into it, did a whole revamp. It's a great, important, kind of, certainly useful journal.
It is very useful. Anyone in the industry can use the journal. It has all the facts about all the Broadway, off-Broadway, off-off-Broadway.
Cabaret, opera, dance, all of it. And Performing Arts Insider. Please go to performingartsinsider.com for more information. And then our final sponsor, last but not least.
Oh, that would be those fancy schmancy balloonists.
Yes, fancy schmancy for all your party decorating needs.
Right.
So, what's... what's the special discount of the week if people want to do a party, a bar mitzvah, graduation? What am I saying?
At this point, I'm willing to give 100% off.
I'll take it. I want to do a party for Chabad the next month when they do their telethon. So, yes, free decorations from Jeff. But for the people calling in, or who will call you tomorrow morning, pick a number.
Let's make a deal day. We'll make any deal.
No reasonable offer yeah. Turned down at Fancy Schmancy Balloons this week. Give them a call at
516-797-3229.
Once again, please.
516-797-3229.
Now, I want to make something clear, though. Jeff and I, we goof around a lot. The whole point of the show is comedy, really. But we don't goof so much about our sponsors. They're for real. Hewlett Minuteman Press, 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners if you go there.
I goof about Fancy Schmancy because I am Fancy Schmancy.
Jeff is the owner, but he's for real as far as the things that he can do to make your party look better. He can also help put your party together with DJs, with catering that you need, anything to make a party cool.
You need a stripper on there.
You really, really don't want... Well, I don't know. If the Florida Marlins can have the manatees dancing, I don't know. Maybe.
The Jeffetees.
And also, we don't want to make fun either of Performing Arts Insider, which is a real...
I want to make fun of it. I love it.
But we're just saying, these are not fake sponsors. These are absolutely real. Please go patronize them, because it keeps this program on the air. On the air to be able to have people like Tom Soames on tonight with my dog Bowels. And Jeff is so excited. Do you know why Jeff is? Why are you excited, Jeff?
It's August.
That's exciting. No, because the segment that I didn't get to do 3 weeks ago when I was lying flat on my back and basically unable to move was your favorite, The News Gone By.
Oh, my God, that's right. Can we talk about my trip to Vegas?
Not tonight. Probably next week, actually.
I want my Vegas.
Give us like 30-second version of something remotely interesting.
Oh, I had a great time in Vegas, but I stayed in 3 hotels over 6 nights.
Huh.
2 nights at Sam's Town, 2 nights at Terrible's, and 2 nights at the Imperial Palace, but I like playing at... they're associated with Harrah's next door, so I go play at Harrah's and sleep at Imperial
Palace.
That was
absolutely thrilling. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for that recap.
I don't know.
You told some good stories, but we only have time for them
now. Oh, wait to hear about the Chinese deal I got sent home.
You got her sent home?
Well, actually, I think she was Korean.
Oops. No, but you got her taken off the
ship. Yeah.
You know what? If there's time at the end of the show, this is something to stay tuned for, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pretty good story, for once. No, kidding. No, but Jeff had a little difficulty in actually a shouting match with one of the dealers in Las Vegas.
And then I had another weird thing at the end of the trip. On my trip home, have you ever checked into the airport? And I said, Jeff Goodman. They said, what flight are you on? And I was flying from Las Vegas to San Francisco back to New York to get the nice direct flight. So they said, Los Angeles. I said, I don't see you on the Los Angeles flight. I said, oh, yes, I'm on the San Francisco flight.
Yeah.
And I looked at, she goes, no, you're not on the San Francisco flight either. I said, yes, I am. I booked it. I know. I'm on the same.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you're not. United had totally rebooked me on a U.S. Airways flight.
Without telling you.
Without telling me.
It's like a special thing they do for people with extra frequent flyers.
I don't know. But
it's just,
I would.
We put you on a Qantas.
Yeah.
You're going to Barcelona tomorrow. We just thought you'd want to know. Ladies and gentlemen, what you need to know is coming up in the commercials ahead, and then we'll be back with more Dave's Gone By and Tom Soames. Don't go away. Meow! I'm not an ordinary cat. I'm a copycat. I love to make copies. So my favorite place is Hewlett Minuteman Press. For 3 decades, they've been on Broadway in Hewlett, printing booklets, making business cards, designing wedding invitations, and making millions of copies. Meow! How good is Minuteman? Hey, I used to have 1 life. Now I've got 9. Hewlett Minuteman on Broadway opposite Lohman's. Tell them Toner the Copycat sent you for 10% off. Do not adjust your set! There's a rabbi on it! Me! Every Wednesday and Friday morning at 7:30 on Cablevision Channel 115. I'm Rabbi Sal Solomon, spiritual leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. And my TV show tells you everything you ever wanted to know about Judaism, but were too staggeringly ignorant to ask. Shalom, damn it! 7:30 Wednesday and Friday mornings on Channel 115 or Channel 67 in Manhattan on Sunday afternoons at 1:30. Or anytime at all at YouTube.com. Shalom, damn it. Your prostate will thank you. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this Sunday evening, and we don't often get into the animal kingdom, even though my wife and I have owned a pair of dogs for about 6 or 7 years now. We also have a couple of frogs, and growing up, also had a bunch of fish and turtles and newts and things like that. But I am an animal liker, if not, well, all right, I'm an animal lover, and I thought it'd be really, really cool to have someone on to talk about our pets and our four-legged and, well, three-legged if you get particularly hungry, those little friends of ours roaming around. But I didn't really feel necessarily qualified to do the interview myself. So really, as luck would have it, just recently got another dog from a shelter. His name is Bowels, and he's very, very fun and frisky. I mean, he's a young pet. What can you do? And he would have certainly more questions and be able to phrase them differently than I would be able to. And he'll be talking to Tom Soames. Tom is, well, he's the pet safety guy. But let's bring our dog, Bowels, in here, and he'll be talking to Tom. Bowels, come on, boy. Come on. Well, hello, and I'm very happy to talk to Tom Soames. He's the pet safety guy, the author of Knowing Your Pet's Health, a guide for optimal wellness from snout to tail. I got both of those. And hello, Tom, how are you?
Hey, Bowles, I'm doing very well, and I'm very happy to talk to you.
Well, I'm happy to talk to you. Do you have a biscuit? I could really use a biscuit right now.
It doesn't quite fit through the microphone here.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll wait. I'll hang. So, first of all, did you coin the word petizen?
Yes, I did.
What does it mean?
Petizen is more about, there's a special relationship that humans have with you four-legged furry family members, as we call them. And the petizen is a new role, because in some municipalities across the country, they're actually saying there's no pet ownership anymore. It's guardianship. And I don't even care for the word guardianship. So I see it as a different relationship, that both the owner, quote-unquote the owner, and the pet have a duty and a responsibility to each other and to the community for having a great life. And the petizen kind of fills that up.
Well, you said that we have a duty, and I certainly make a lot of those. What do you say to owners who, well, they get mad when I'm making it in the wrong place or at the wrong time? How do you jive with wanting to love and own an animal, but the animal's not necessarily behaving the way you want them to?
I'll be honest with you on this one here. I don't believe in the rolled-up newspaper technique.
Oh, good. I'm very glad about that.
Because it's really hard to hit the rolled-up newspaper when you're trying to do your duty. Never mind. We're actually...
You're a funny guy.
We try. I'm the pet safety funny guy. We like to be positive reinforcement. I think with dogs, you know, cats, I don't know what your attitude is about cats, that kind of thing.
We fight. But we tend to fight like cats and animals, really. We do.
Positive reinforcement, you know, start letting you know what you're supposed to do and where you're supposed to do it, I guess, is the way to say it.
Now, your main concern is health. You're into keeping the dog or the cat or the iguana or the ferret, if you're Marc Maron, healthy. Trying to really, what do you look out for to make sure that your animal, well, let's talk about dogs, because that's really all I care about.
Okay.
What's to look for on a healthy dog, and what's a signal that there might be trouble a-brewing?
Well, that's kind of two sides of a similar coin.
Wait, can you hold that? I have to lick myself for a minute. Okay.
And I would say that's a good sign right there, that you're licking yourself. The thing that we talk about, we have the snout-to-tail assessment, and that's where you go from snout-to-tail, deliberate intent and purpose, looking for getting a baseline and looking for anything that the pet's not aware of, if it's for injury and if it's for wellness, which we're talking about, getting that baseline for them. Because if you know what's normal for your pet, then you'll know what's not normal for them. You'll be more quick to recognize that in the pet. Because He wants to have a pet that should have high energy and bright eyes, and you know, we talk about those kind of things. And you sound like you're bright-eyed and bright between the ears and full of energy as well.
I'm bright-eyed and bushy. Well, a little bit dirty-tailed because I just did my business, but I'm generally bushy-tailed. I like Coldplay. For some reason, I like that band. Is that normal, or does that?
Oh, I thought you meant you like to play in the snow.
That too. You, honey, could you just do me? Could you hold your butt to the telephone so I can sniff it? I love that.
I cleaned it just for you.
Oh.
I'm going to change the name of my book. I'm going to call it The Guide for Optimal Wellness from Snout to Bowels.
Oh, you are just so the best. Can you be my master? I mean, Dave's okay, but I like you. You got a good sense of humor.
I will map quest you directions. How's that?
I'll find my way somehow. I'll hitch. I'll put my paw up in the middle of Sunrise Highway. I'll get to you. I will. I promise that. Broadway theater has never been grander or more expensive. So, like any big purchase, you gotta do homework. You wanna pick the best show or the most family appropriate, the best reviewed or with the biggest stars or most interesting design. Everyone has different criteria. Performing Arts Insider answers them all. For decades, the Bible of Broadway that professionals check for every show on every New York stage. Visit PerformingArtsInsider.com and see DavesGoneBy.org for a 30% subscriber discount. Now go! Do your homework. Everything is iPod this and download that. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned CDs? Well, at Dave's Gone By, we're still making them. Nearly every episode we've ever done is preserved digitally on compact disc and for sale at davesgoneby.org. And at a new low price, $10 per show, shipping and handling included. Add $1 per disc for a personalized autograph and check davesgoneby.org for multiple discounts. P2P, MP3, CD, me.
This is Tom Soames, the Pet Safety Guy, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB Freeport.
So, what are some of the dog emergencies that can happen, and what can people do? What is the first thing that people should do if they see their dog and there's a problem?
Well, when there's a problem, we always consider that you should talk to your vet, because if you notice something that's not normal or something like that, you should talk to them about that. But we also own Pet Tech, which is the premier pet first aid and care training in the country. And that program is for canine officers and animal controls and pet sitters and dog walkers and all that kind of stuff. And two of the most preventable accidents that occur with pets.
Well, I had a preventable accident before, but I didn't prevent it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Continue.
This is true. I was going to go somewhere else with that, but that's all right. But with the preventable accidents, we have the choking, because I know how you dogs like to just explore the world with your mouth, and you can sometimes get into things that you're not supposed to. But choking is one.
By the way, if you know any female dogs who like to explore the world with their mouths, yeah, I got my black book of bitches, so I'll add them by all means. I'm sorry. All I'm interrupting you. Please continue.
No, that's a good answer right there.
Thank you.
And the other one is heat injuries, which is one of those things that we talk about this time of year, is that, you know, because you're a very special dog, Bowles, because it can speak in not just in the literal sense. And that is that the pets, they can't communicate that they're getting overheated, so people take them out for a walk on a hot, humid day, and they're walking on hot cement, so the heat goes through their paws. You probably experience being out in a hot day, and Dave's ignoring you, and they're not seeing all the signs of the tongue sticking out and hanging out down the side and no more saliva in the mouth, those kind of things, and you're just really ready for a drink of water. So we're concerned about the heat injuries at this time of year, and that is one of the things we cover in our training. We actually cover over 50 actions for survival in our training, our pet first aid and care training.
Well, what's something you can do? Let's say you forget to bring water and you see a dog overheating. What can you do?
Well, you can reduce their level of activity, get them into the shade, and then you do want to get some water for them. But what you can also do is you can check their this sounds funky, but you want to check their gum tissue color. It's called the mucous membrane color. And if it's really bright red, that means the pet's really getting hot, because the pet's mouth is kind of like a car's radiator, and it helps to cool them off. So that's why those short-nosed breeds, You know, I'm sure you'd never have a girlfriend that was a pug or something like that.
No, I can do better than that. Come on, I'm something of a stud, you know?
I do know that.
Stud, I think I've read
your MySpace. I've seen you on MySpace.
Yeah, yeah. So I can get some long nose lady dogs, if you know what I'm saying. Oh, yeah. Long nose and long tongue. But we won't go there. I'll go there, but we don't have to go there right now.
You go there, because I'll watch. I'll hold the camera. How's that?
All right.
It'll be on YouTube by midnight, no doubt. The other thing with the heat there is that we want to just get them. We do want to help get them cooled down, and you can use just amounts of water over their body too if they're extremely overheated. So we want to make sure we cover that for them.
Are dogs your main expertise over the? How long have you been doing this?
I originally trained with the Michigan State Police in underwater recovery, so we used to cut holes in the ice, go down and recover dead bodies, so that was fun. And I put myself through college working for ambulance services, and fast forward several years, I actually had a human first aid. We still have the human first aid company, and we teach for quite an A-list of clients here in San Diego. And back in 1994, someone was in my class, and they said, this is a really good class, but how would I do this to my dog? Because he also was a big-time dog lover. And so we went back to school, got my veterinary assistants, and put the whole program together. And one of the things that sets our program apart is that we do a lot of hands-on, and everything we do dovetails and supports what's going to happen at the emergency animal hospital with the veterinarian.
Very good. So are you more of an expert, though, in cats or in dogs, you personally?
Well, I have to be PC. I have to be politically canine on this. So, you know, I'm a big dog lover. We currently do not have a cat, but I have had cats that have come into my life.
So it's been a kind of a while since you've had pussy in your life, is what you're saying.
Well, cats have come into my life, but I swerved and missed them. How's that?
I like this guy. This is Tom Soames, who is the pet safety guy, and you know about all the different kinds of dogs and all the different breeds. And let me ask you something. This is a test. If you go into a Vietnamese restaurant, can you tell the different breed by the taste of the chicken?
Only if it's they cook the back end. Never mind.
I don't.
Then you would be able to tell bowels. Then you'd be able to tell.
No, nice comeback there, by the way. And have you ever bitten a mailman? Oh, that is fun. You should try it. It's really, really. They're not expecting it, and you just you come up behind real quiet on two paws, and then take a little piece out of them.
Well, I heard they taste like chicken, so.
Well, actually, they taste like Vietnamese food, which is really bizarre. Don't ask me how that all dovetails together, but it does.
I don't know how that works.
Now, what are some other mistakes that people make about their dogs? What do they do that they think they're doing something good and giving them a treat, but they're not?
Well, in our book, Knowing Your Pet's Health, A Guide for Optimal Wellness from Snout to Tail, we actually have five components of optimal wellness. And one of them is that snout-to-tail assessment that we were talking about. And the other one is nutrition. And I know I'm not trying to say how old I am here, but in dog years, I'm really old. And the thing is, so I'd be very wise. And the thing is that when I was a kid, it was like give them puppy food for the first year of life and then give them, you know, dog food for the rest of their life.
Right.
And we're really into nutrition. With that big pet food recall of 2007, pet owners like Dave, hopefully he watches the news, their bowels, and is up to date and giving you good food.
He doesn't get the food from China. He makes sure he gets it from Venezuela. He sometimes gets it Colombian with a little white. He says it's sugar that he sprinkles on there, but I don't know. But no, he's not touching.
I heard Antarctic penguin is really good.
Mmm. Yes. He's
not
careful that
at all.
Way. But you do have to be careful. And you don't want to feed. Some people think that it's okay to feed a dog people food. Is it ever?
No, people food is okay. It really is. You can give them fruits and vegetables and things like that. And the thing is that you don't want to give them is what you don't or won't eat, such as like the big fatty piece of meat that's around a steak. As good as that might taste, Bowles, it's kind of like the good taste of bad food. That's called high-density food, so it has a lot of calories in it.
Aww.
And has very little nutrition, so it doesn't do very much for you. But with a very small dog, depending on size of animal, a lot of fat like that can cause problems with their pancreas. And that actually happens quite a bit around the holiday season, from Thanksgiving to New Year's. Pets that get into the trash, they dumpster dive in there, and they get a lot of that fat, and it can cause pancreatitis, which is can become life-threatening in a matter of a few hours.
I got a little, just a little diarrhea. But it was worth it. It was so good because it was the Chateaubriand. It was the rim, and it was a treat. And, I have to say, I mean, it wasn't fun for Dave and his wife for cleaning it up for 3 days, but it was fine for me.
3 days is a little diarrhea. As I said, I didn't know there's a big difference between a little diarrhea and a lot of diarrhea, but
well,
3 days
amount
is a lot of diarrhea.
And the color. It was mustardy rather than the more usual burnt sienna.
Mm.
I pay attention to these things.
And was there a splash zone or kind of like Shamu or something?
Something like that, yeah. Okay. Well, this absolutely shocked me. Have you ever read the book of Clifford, the Big Red Dog? I mean, it's got a cartoon and all that.
Yeah.
I was absolutely shocked. I can't read, but Dave was reading it to me one day because he was bored. And did you know that what Clifford's favorite food was, his favorite treat?
No.
Absolute shock. This is not a joke. I'm not making a humorous observation here.
It's going to be chocolate.
Chocolate cake. Absolutely staggering that this book, this famous book, that is considered a beloved children's classic about how to bond with your dog, and the dog gets all big because the kid loves it and all that, stuff. And chocolate cake is his treat. We
I
should
think
recall
that's a feline
that
conspiracy, and that is actually a cat owner is the author of Clifford, and they're plotting against dogs across the world.
Good point. Good point. We have to go against those people who love pussy. It's about dogs. I'm sorry. I want to ask something about obsessive-compulsive behavior, but I have to do some more licking. Hold on. Oh, that's good. Okay, I'm done. So, obsessive behavior. How do you get your dog out of that?
Well, I don't actually do a lot of behavior training. Ours is more like the first aid and optimal wellness and care and things like that. But we do recommend that if you have a pet that has a behavior problem, it tends to be a people problem. It tends to come from the person, not the pet. The pet is just responding to the stimulus and the environment that's going on, so that's why the pet is behaving that way. So you could always get a good qualified animal behaviorist or a trainer of sorts.
Let me ask you a question, just between you and me and well, the people listening, but really between you and me. Cesar, nice guy. Ever met him?
Yes, I have met him.
Is he hot in person?
He and I both have, we both spoke at the same event. I'll give a shout out to the International Association of Canine Professionals. We were both speakers that year at their convention. It was just 2 years ago. And very nice guy. Very nice guy. I know some people aren't fans of his techniques, but, he uses more techniques and he has more than one tool in his toolbox. So he has brought a lot of awareness to animal behavior problems because the old solution for severe or chronic behavior issues was to get rid of the pet, and that's not real humane or
good.
Nice.
I agree with that. And I also say he has a nice tush. I see him on TV. He's got a nice butt, and I just want to put my nose to the screen and sniff it, which is basically what I do. And thank you also for doing that with your butt. You've got a pretty good smell. I mean, we could wipe a little better. But it's a pretty good-smelling butt.
I'm still using hotel toilet paper that we got from our last road trip.
Oh, well, save me some, because I like to play with that and all that. Anyway, I want to thank Tom Soames for being in the neighborhood with me. I'm Bowels the Dog. And, Tom, just tell everybody how to find out about pet safety and all the stuff that you're doing again.
Okay, sure. You can go to pettech.net. That's PETTECH.net. That will get you to our first aid training. And when you go to that first page there, you can also see over on the right, we have what's called the Million Pettison Rally, and we're raising $1 million for 4 different pet charities. And we're doing that through the sales of our book, Knowing Your Pet's Health. And the book itself, if I tore all the pages out, except for the pages about the snout to tail assessment, we have pictures of every step of the way of doing the snout to bowels, we'll rename it here, assessments, that the book would still be worth 10 times what you pay for it. Because we actually have a snout-to-tail worksheet that's inside there that we made, so you actually can copy it and use that on an ongoing basis.
And copy it, give it to your friends, and give it to your dogs to play with and pee on, because they'll like it too.
A couple of different copies. Depends
get
on how
several
big
copies.
Is.
One to read and one to just make mess on. Do it for your pet. They would do it for you, I believe. I think
absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
Well, Tom Soames, it's been a great pleasure. Wait, let me sniff. You want to lick? You can sniff my bug if you want.
There we go.
How's it smell? Is it good down there?
It's the best one I've smelled all day.
You flatterer, you. Oh, we're going to make... I'm going to zip on over there. I'm going to go down the highway. I'm going to find you. You're going to be my master, because I like you.
We live in Carlsbad, California.
All right. It's going to be a long trip, but I'll bring biscuits. I'll be great. Tom,
biscuits and water. We talked about this.
Water. Oh, and a little Chardonnay. Because every time...
Even better.
You got to live it up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Tom Soames, thank you for being in the neighborhood.
Well, thank you for having us.
Moby Dick, Ulysses, War and Peace, the Bible. Big freaking deal. If you want to read a real book, a funny book, try Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, a collection of comedies by Dave Lefkowitz, me, the host of Dave's Gone By. Each play is stage-tested and relatively safe for public consumption. Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, available from Holvo Books on the Dave's Gone By website. It's the great American something.
My radio's on, the news is all bad, but it's good to relax.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this Sunday night, August 17th, 2008. It is time for the News Gone By, a look at local and world events from a dogged perspective. And since this episode concerns itself with our animal friends, let's begin the news with a happy story of Lucky the koala bear. Lucky was crossing the road in Brisbane, Australia, when he was struck by a car going 60 miles an hour. The koala's head got jammed through the grill and was dragged 7 miles down the road. And he survived! A spokeswoman from the Australian Wildlife Hospital said, quote, Lucky was in shock, duh, but he quickly recovered and was nearly better after a few hours' rest and a feed, unquote. Now, the best part is the last line of the Reuters story about this. Lucky is going to have to stay at the animal hospital, which, by the way, was set up by the late Steve Irwin. Lucky will be kept there for observation for a month and a half to, quote, recover from his experience and receive treatment for a chlamydial infection. Excuse me, but how does a koala bear get chlamydia? Are there, like, bear prostitutes out there carrying marsupial herp? And if there is such a thing as wombat VD, how do they protect against it? I mean, I can see two koalas on a hot date. Oh, honey, come on! Well, if only you brought a banana skin! Yes, yes, I have it! Oh, this one's torn! Can't you just douche with a coconut later? Also, Jeff's looking at me with horror already.
No, Dave. Well, first of all, I thought you were going to make a joke because koala bears sit and eat eucalyptus, so they're high all the time.
Eucalyptus! I should have done something with that.
And then, and also, the fact is, I wonder why he was crossing the street.
To get to the other side.
There we go.
Also in Australian animal news, a half hour after a Melbourne couple had gone to sleep, they heard their pet rabbit scratching at their bedroom door. The husband opened the door and realized there was a fire spreading rapidly from another room. Husband and wife were able to escape unharmed, though the house was badly damaged. On TV the next day, the couple showed off their heroic three-legged bunny. And the show host said, my gosh, I didn't realize the rabbit had only three legs. And the husband said, well, he didn't, but, you know, he saved our lives. A rabbit like that, you don't eat all at once.
That's an old joke.
I know. True story, old joke.
What do you mean that's a true story?
The rabbit saying that part was true. The end part was the joke that I grafted on to the true story. That's the wit part.
I hate this segment so much. I really do.
Remaining in
Australia. I don't even know how anyone listens to this.
Oh, come on, man. Our third story tonight. How about that Qantas airplane that had a hole in it a couple of weeks ago? Passengers were sitting there reading, talking. Suddenly, they hear a loud bang. The oxygen masks come down, and the plane starts descending about a mile a minute. Turned out a hole the size of a small car had ripped open by the fuselage. And amazingly, the pilots brought the thing down. The fast descent was actually intentional by the pilots to get the plane down to 10,000 feet where everyone can breathe regular air. They landed. No one was hurt. Really a miracle, and no word yet on how all this happened. Qantas officials say fixing the hole will just take a week or two. However, getting the stains out of the seats could take 3 months.
Oh, Dave?
Yes.
They did announce a couple weeks ago what caused that. It was an oxygen tank.
Oh, real oxygen just blew?
Yeah.
Whoa. Nice.
It was like the spare oxygen for the pilots and stuff.
Yikes. Well, now we go to a place that could use a lot more oxygen.
Well, that was strike three, by the way.
Oh, come on. That was cute. Come on.
No, it wasn't.
We now go to Egypt, where I guess the camels don't have to be so nervous anymore. Egyptian men apparently like the feminine sex. In a study conducted by the Egyptian Center for Women's Rights, nearly two-thirds of Egyptian men admit to having sexually harassed women. According to the Reuters article, forms of macho Egypto harassment include, quote, touching or ogling women, shouting sexually explicit remarks, and exposing their genitals to women, unquote. The study also said that nearly half the women assaulted remained quiet. In other news, former President Clinton has just bought an apartment in Cairo. No, but seriously, half the men interviewed for this study said women brought it on themselves by dressing provocatively. Said one, quote, yes, she was wearing the headscarf, but an eighth of her earlobe was exposed, the slut. Speaking of sexuality, we turn to Greece.
That's not even Egypt. That's like Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, still. Hey, they're all Arabs to me.
You couldn't get a walk like an Egyptian joke in there?
No, well, could have, but I didn't.
This is the way you miss the boat on these things.
We now move to Greece. We take the boat from Greece to get some hot Lesbos action. Yes?
Oh, God.
Three residents of the actual Isle of Lesbos near Athens filed a lawsuit to ban people from using the word lesbians to define homosexual women. According to the suit, the island residents did not want people getting confused between lesbian gay women and lesbians who simply live on the Isle of Lesbos. They said it was an insult to their identity. The lawsuit was struck down last month, with the defense lawyer calling it ridiculous. Some residents even testified that having gay lesbians identified with Lesbos was good for the island because it increased tourism. I'm not sure how. I mean, let's see. A sun-drenched Greek isle where young women go to sunbathe naked, kiss each other, and frolic in the water. Anyone want to... okay, hold on to a second. I need to amend my bucket list. Things to do before I die. Number one, see Greece. Number two, bring camera. Okay, in Peru...
Well, and this would be a perfect time to say, happy wedding day, Portia de Rossi and Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah! Mazel tov. Mazel tov. That's, I don't care about their wedding day, but I would like to see their wedding night. Let me tell you that.
Hey.
No, come on, come on. You know, they're a lot cuter than Rosie and her woman, her paramour.
Girlfriend.
Her wife, girlfriend? What is it? They're not married, right?
Significant other?
No, but Rosie's not married.
Well, they were, but then it got annulled. They did the thing in San Francisco a couple of years ago.
So, but
then Arnold took it away or something like that. I forget.
But Ellen and Portia are like.
Well, they got married today.
Or yesterday or something like that. Today. Yay.
I wouldn't lie to you. I heard it on the news on the way over.
Well, that's
the real news, not this news. news I'm not liking.
Speaking of naked women, in Peru.
Oh, we'd like to remind. This is, I guess this is one of the points in the show where I have to remind everyone that you're not gay.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Here's Jeff's disclaimer number one for Dave's Gone By. Dave isn't gay.
Dave is not gay. Okay.
He's married.
Yes.
We thought he was gay, but he's not gay.
I never thought I was gay. You thought I was gay.
A lot of people think you're gay.
But I'm not.
They still think you are, but I say you're married, so maybe you're not gay.
Maybe I'm not gay. Okay, fine.
Okay, Dave's not gay.
May I continue with the segment that you love so much.
Well, I think Dave's gay segment.
Here goes your mic. In Peru, a naked model was arrested 2 weeks ago for posing mounted on a horse while using the Peruvian flag as a saddle. Defense Minister Antero Flores told the press, quote, "These are patriotic symbols that demand total respect. This is an offense." For her part, the model, Lacey Suarez, defended herself, saying, "I haven't committed a crime. I love Peru, and I show it with my body and soul," unquote. She also said she thought it was a tasteful picture, showing off the flag in all its beauty of red, white, green, and newly brown. I don't know. I can see both sides of this. It's not like a flag burning, but at the same time, it's a smidgen disrespectful. And also, now I'm not accusing, but I remember last year she was visiting the UN. She was low on tampons, and when she left, the flag of Paraguay was gone. So you do the math. Capping our international news, in Canada, police are looking for the owners of some 1,500 stolen bicycles. The bikes were recovered in various raids on shops and garages across Toronto. And now the authorities are asking the original owners of stolen bicycles to come and see if the bikes are in their lot. Just one question, how are the owners supposed to get there? That's kind of a zing question. It's funny in a quiet, internal way, rather than actually making you laugh. I'm good at those kinds of jokes. But seriously, the police...
Yes, the ones that don't actually make you laugh.
The police and the media were at least looking for someone to come out and represent all the people who had their bikes taken. Unfortunately, they couldn't find a spokesperson. Yes! That sound, that is not a bicycle bell. That ringing with laughter sound is the comedy bell. Since this program began almost 6 years ago, we have been ringing the comedy bell to signal the Dave's Gone By bad pun of the week. Whenever we do the news gone by, we make a play on words so bad, we put the pedal to the metal with the comedy bell. The bell reminds us all that Dave's Gone By is the place to advertise your product, event, or service.
Is that what it does?
That's exactly what it does, sure. The economy sucks. No question, people are counting their disposable income by the penny. All the more reason why you need to suck in their precious dollars before they spend them somewhere else. Look around. People haven't stopped shopping. They haven't stopped eating in restaurants. They haven't stopped buying electronics. They haven't even stopped traveling or buying cars. Maybe
and someone I know hasn't stopped making bad jokes.
Exactly. Now, maybe we all spend a little less. Maybe we spend more cautiously. But the market is still there. And if you have a good product at a fair price, you should be out there pitching. And a great cost-effective way to do that is to advertise on Dave's Gone By. We have rates as low as $30 a spot. Compare that to what you pay for a Penny Saver ad, or go to Cablevision, or let alone Direct Mail or Newsday. Dave's Gone By for your message, because this time next week, you could be listening to your very own ad. And so could thousands of other people you need to reach. Visit davesgoneby.org to see the rate card and all the information. davesgoneby.org.
And Dave, can you have a special on rates this week?
Actually, we're doing some fall specials.
$25 just for this week?
We have all different specials. Some are even better than that. So I can't get in because there's 30-second spots. There's 60-second spots. There's if you buy 26 weeks at a time, 52 weeks at a time.
What a bargain.
Yeah. All you got to do is contact me at that phone number, 516-295-1511.
What?
516-295-1511. Or email me. davesgoneby@aol.com, and we will answer all your advertising questions. So spread your message, sell, 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 heed the sound of the comedy bell. Or, to put it another way, don't be good, be ponderful. In entertainment news, returning to the news gone by, crime struck off Broadway as the long, well, at the long-running Gazillion Bubble Show.
No.
In late July, 3.5 tons of bubble solution were stolen from a New Jersey warehouse. Vietnamese bubble master Phan Yang and his wife Anna Yang, who star in the show, were shocked by the theft of the bubble water. The rest of the world was shocked. Oh, dear. I'm sorry, this is really cruel and awful. I'll start that one again. This is the first time I've laughed at one of my jokes in a long time. I hope it's worth it. Both the stars and creators of the show were shocked by the theft of the bubble water. The rest of the world was shocked that Vietnamese people have heard of soap. I'm sorry, that's really evil.
That's terrible. But I know where it went, by the way.
Where did it go?
I think the naked boy singing took it to Staten.
You know, and I'm sorry if that joke was cruel, but let me tell the truth here. I was interviewed for a job on that show, on Gazillion Bubble Show. I never got the job. I never even got the courtesy of a phone call or an email telling me I didn't get the job. So screw them and their so-called bubble art. Dee-dee Mao, bubble gone. Also, some entertainment news.
You've been mean to the bubble people.
Yeah, okay.
David, shame on you.
May they choke
they're
on their
soap.
They're
bubble people. They're Vietnamese bubble people.
Yeah, so let them go back. We should have bombed them
they
in the
came
name.
To they came to this country with only a bubble to sit in. They made it all across the Pacific in a bubble.
I guess so.
You know,
they have only bubble children. What?
Well, yeah, when John Travolta was the boy in the plastic bubble, did you laugh at him?
Well, only when he was blown. Anyway, some sad entertainment news. There's still some fallout from the fact that none of the other Golden Girls, apparently, showed up at Estelle Getty's funeral.
Really?
Getty, who played Mama Sophia on the show, passed away last month at age 84. Her co-stars all had excuses for not being at the service, with the 86-year-old Beatrice Arthur saying, quote, "Our mother-daughter relationship was one of the greatest comic duos ever, and I will miss her." The interviewer then asked Arthur about Estelle Getty's legacy, now that she's dead, to which Arthur said, "Estelle Getty died?"
What?
I like that one. It's an Alzheimer's joke. Get it?
Ah. Yeah.
Well, we can all rest a little easier. Ed McMahon, speaking of Alzheimer's, has found work. After being in the news for undergoing neck surgery after a bad fall, and then pleading poverty and fighting foreclosure on his house, octogenarian Ed has bounced back. He's doing 4 commercials for Pontiac. General Motors explained that they picked Ed as a spokesman because, in this economy, it made sense to get someone who's completely out of gas. Now, speaking of things that won't get started, what?
By the way, did you hear what happened to Ed McMahon's house?
Oh, yes. He's saved. Somebody saved him.
Donald Trump.
Right.
Well, I think it's a good deal. Donald Trump is going to buy his house for a blow, as long as he can get it from the bank. There's a $6 million home or something.
Right.
Go buy it for $4 million and lease it back to the mortgage.
Well, he's doing exactly what these greedy mortgage companies do to, like, these old people who don't have the money anymore.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like they'll eventually own the poor people's
house. I'll buy your house for less than it's worth. And then I'll lease it back to you, so you have to pay me to stay in there.
And I was saying that Donald Trump was a creep. Well.
Work, old man, work.
Now, other things that will not get started. Who has not felt like Keith Walandowski, age 56, from Milwaukee? Keith was trying to be a good neighbor and mow his lawn last month, but the lawnmower wouldn't start. So he shot it. He was then arrested for felony possession of a short-barreled shotgun and a disorderly conduct misdemeanor. The intoxicated Mr. Walandowski told police, quote, "It's my lawnmower, my yard, and I can shoot it if I want." I don't know what the current slogan for the NRA is, but if you ask me, what belongs on their medallion is, "My lawnmower, my yard, boom." I just love that. In food news, it's not a joke, I like it. We all saw this. You were out of town maybe, but you saw this. This is amazing. The guy who went to a New York Subway, not the train, the fast food joint, he goes to a Subway and orders a cold cut trio sandwich, starts eating it, and got kind of a cold cut. He discovered a 7-inch knife baked into the crust. Did not cut himself, but he did get sick just from the thought of it, and because the plastic handle probably melted into the dough of the part he ate. A spokesman for Subway, which apparently has yet to apologize for the incident, spokesman said the company was investigating the matter and that they take food safety very seriously, blah, blah, blah. Asked how they could possibly take food safety that seriously if they're baking knives into sandwiches, the spokesman said, well, think about it. You're in a Subway eating a delicious and weight-reducing lunch, and some homeless thug wanders in to attack you. All you do is reach into the sandwich and say, back off, buddy. This is sharp and hot. Now, that's what I call food safety. Why, we should call it the hero's hero. But I digress. Also in food...
Terrible. Just terrible.
California has now officially banned trans fats in restaurants and retail baked goods. That goes even further than the New York ban on trans fats that went into effect in July. Excuse me, but am I the only one who sees an element of discrimination in this? Sure, trans fats may be unhealthy, unnecessary, and cause the onset of heart disease, but if fats want to dress up in women's clothes, who are we to stop them? And now, sport. I'm going to turn your mic off. I don't need to hear your review of every damn joke. And now, sport. We all know how huge the World Cup and soccer are across the world, but have you heard of swamp soccer? Yes, the 2008 Swamp Soccer World Championships were held last month for the 10th time in a row in a muddy field in Finland. Now, this isn't quite as serious as professional soccer. The players wear wigs, dresses, Viking helmets, and Superman costumes, and they have to duct tape their shoes to their feet to keep them on. Still, everybody plays for keeps. Russia, Latvia, Lithuania, and Norway are among the teams participating in this year's Swamp Soccer Cup. It's just like the regular soccer, except it's played in a gooey, boggy field, more like a pig pen than a stadium. Said one female player, quote, your opponent snatches the ball right in front of your nose, but you're stuck in the mass of dung and can't move at all, unquote. Here in America, we don't have swamp soccer, unfortunately. We don't have a sport where all the players swash around in mud and filth, trying to bash each other while sinking into gobs and gobs of crap. Well, that is unless you count politics. In media news, great news for lovers of free speech and boobies. The U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has thrown out the FCC's $500,000 fine against CBS TV. The fine, of course, was for showing Janet Jackson's Hooters during the 2004
Excuse
Super Bowl.
Me, it was only one Hooter.
Oh, you're right. That's right. Nipplegate. Justin Timberlake was dancing with Janet Jackson when she had a wardrobe malfunction, proving to one and all that she and Michael were not the same person. And for a tenth of a quarter of a second, TV viewers saw a flash of a part of an inch of a pasty-covered nipple. Oh, what an outrage. But the Federal Communications Commission, in its infinite greed, saw this as an opportunity, not just to teach media a lesson for pushing the envelope, but also, under its new structure of penalties based on viewership, to get a whopping payday. 90 million people watched the Super Bowl. All of them were offended, of course. So let's say they're each worth half a penny, which comes to roughly $500,000. CBS fought the ridiculous fine, but the FCC knew what it was doing. They sent a chill through the industry, a warning that if you do something on the air that gets even one complaint, you could be hit with a fine that bankrupts you forever. Now, that's Uncle Sam working in our interests. But you know what? Uncle Sam is also the court system, and it's the justices who decided that the FCC, quote, acted arbitrarily and capriciously, unquote, and amen. CBS called this an important win for the entire broadcast industry. And I really wish George Carlin had been around to celebrate and comment. But on the other hand, this ruling is just the tip of the iceberg. Later this year, the Supreme Court is going to tackle a major broadcast indecency case, and that will tell the tale of what is and what is not obscene and offensive, at least in terms of what the FCC can punish and what right-wing born-again putzes can make trouble over. If the court spells out strict terms about words and thoughts that are no-nos on public airwaves, that'll make things clearer, but also take away the idea of context being a mitigating factor. If the Supreme Court leaves things vague and the case-by-case scenario, well, that allows for wiggle room, but it also lets the FCC keep zapping stations with giant fines whenever it sees fit. All we can hope is that they keep things loose, make them even looser, and then tighten the leash, the noose, on the FCC monster.
They're just boobs. That's all I can tell you.
The airwaves belong to us, ladies and gentlemen, not a government bureau, not a couple of senators, not big oil or pharmaceutical companies, radio, television, the public airwaves belong to the public. That is a noble and crucial element of democracy and as sacred in its way as the Holy Bible. And if God, in the Old Testament and the New, wanted to say something like poopy dooty pee pee caca titties asswipe nipples and dildo, would we censor him? I think not.
My name is.
And speaking of inappropriate words, Romeo once asked, what's in a name? Quite a lot if you're Judge Murfitt of New Zealand. He's a family court justice, and he's tired of parents giving their newborns ridiculous names that will haunt the kids later in life. In a recent decision where he disallowed a 9-year-old girl's birth name of Tallulah Does the Hula, the judge wrote, that you laugh at. The judge makes a wrote,
I'm Bob, who are you?
Tallulah Does the Hula. This is what the judge wrote. The court is profoundly concerned about the very poor judgment of the child's parents, makes a fool of the child, and sets her up with a social disability and a handicap, unquote. According to the Associated Press, Judge Murfitt was able to block such child names as Fish and Chips, Yeah Detroit, and Sex Fruit. And this is not a joke. That wasn't a joke. That was true. The Associated Press story says that the judge tried but couldn't block the names Violence and Number 16 Bus Shelter. I don't know. I understand the judge's position, but why should celebrities be the only ones who are allowed to name their kids bizarrely? You don't hear Dweezil and Moon Unit complaining. And really, Keith and Kevin and Julie and Sarah are nice monikers, but aren't they bland compared to Apple and Hopper and Suri? All I know is I don't want the judge going anywhere near Old Dirty Bastard Jr. And that's the news gone by for Sunday, August 17th, 2008. Please send your comments, opinions, and stolen bicycles to Dave's Gone By. P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. That's Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. We reserve the right to read your letters on the air, name withheld upon request. And if you're too cheap or lazy to send a letter, send an email letter to Dave's Gone By at AOL.com. That's Dave's Gone By at AOL.com. We're always happy to get your postcards, emails, letters, large crates of jewelry, pretty much anything. But
can they also say how much they hate the segment like me?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll take your hate mail and your love mail. We'll mush them together and we'll get your mediocre, we kind of like you mail. But please don't send sex fruit. I'm already bananas. And remember, it's my lawnmower. It's my yard. And I can shoot it if I want.
This is Dave Lefkowitz, who's not gay.
Back after this.
And that was news, if that was news. That was very, very, very special news.
Do you know how easy and inexpensive it is to advertise on Dave's Gone By? You don't? Well, hey, it's even easier to find out. You can run a 30 or 60 second ad or sponsor a show segment or the whole show. Just go to davesgoneby.org to see the rates. Or call 516-295-1511, 516-295-1511. Bring your message to my audience. Advertise on Dave's Gone By.
This is Tom Soames, the Pet Safety Guy, author of Knowing Your Pet's Health, A Guide for Optimal Wellness from Snout to Tail. And you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB Freeport.
Thank you so much, Tom Soames. Thank you for being in the neighborhood. Arf, arf, woof, woof. And to my dog, Bowels, for being such a... I think for a first interview, Bowels did pretty well, don't you? Certainly no horrible accidents, which is the thing that we must worry about with our dog.
I thought he might be a little gay.
Really? Our dog?
Yeah.
I don't know. When I had sex with it yesterday, it was still
oh,
kind of...
Gay.
Oh, I don't know what that means. Wait, oh, it's 12.03 a.m. on what's the station? Jeff Dore, Legal ID.
WGBB Freeport.
Beautifully done, Jeff. So, when the gospel people are here, we will start gospel. But until then, we're going to close the episode of Dave's Gone By telling you, first of all, who our sponsors are. Jeff Goodman, help me out here. Help me out.
Well, there's the Indomitable Copy Kings of Broadway.
The Abdominal Copy King? What?
Indomitable.
Okay, yes.
Copy Kings of Broadway. Hewlett
Minuteman
Press.
Which is located at 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, next to what used to be the new Loman Shoe Store, still across the street from regular
old
Loman's.
Well, it's called the old Loman Shoe Store now.
Yeah, the Loman's empty building.
Across the street from Loman's, actually.
That's it, that it is, and near the Burger King, too. Hewlett Minuteman Press, 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners.
And there's now plenty of parking. No one's looking
for you. Just drive into the other store and park there. Go through the window. There's tons of floor space.
It's driving through the store.
Oh, yeah. 10% off at Hewlett Minuteman Press. Let me give their phone number, 516-569-5577. Now, I would go patronize them this week because they may be closed the last week of August. They usually
are.
And I
hear they have a beautiful new color copier.
It's not that, well, it's beautiful, it's already a few months old, but it's a lovely copier. It's, anything you want to do on it, remember, any job, big or small, 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners at Hewlett Minuteman Press. Also, this program is brought to you by Performing Arts Insider, the theater magazine, the Bible of Broadway for 65 years. Everything you want to know about what's happening on the stages of New York, every Broadway show, every off-Broadway show, all the little off-off things, all the things that are playing now in the International Fringe Festival, it's all in Performing Arts Insider, 12 times a year for the monthly edition, and Dave's Gone By listeners get a huge discount, because it's an expensive little journal, because people in the industry
well worth
count
it,
on
Dave.
It. Thank you. Very well worth it. So go to davesgoneby.org to find out how you, the Dave's Gone By listener, can save something like 30 or 40% on the annual cost of a subscription to Performing Arts Insider. And to find out more about the mag, please go to performingartsinsider.com. And now, our final sponsor. Again, it's last but not least.
That would be fancy schmancy blue.
Why are you pulling the microphone off the thing to do this? Are you like a lounge singer in Vegas?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I want you to know that at Fancy Schmancy Blooms,
yeah,
we do such nice parties. We will never Carol Channing.
Yeah, along with a lot of other people, I've been robbed.
And we don't like that when other people get robbed.
Oh, we have to get Carol Channing.
So we will rob you at Fancy Schmancy.
Fancy Schmancy will not be robbed. Yeah. So, but
we'll give you that.
As a matter of fact, especially this week,
where no reasonable offers refused.
So, but very quickly remind people exactly what you
do. We do balloons, all sorts of party decorations. We'll even organize your party if you're too busy too.
Right. That's exactly it. Jeff will do every little.
I know. I do it
from centerpieces to little balloon things to really taking the whole
room
over.
And they're really gorgeous because I am talented.
He is indeed. You all have a website, though, to show you.
No, because we don't want other people going to our website and going, oh, that's nice. Can you copy that?
Good point. Well, you should just have a website with your name and address on it still. But
I could, but that would be too much work.
Yes. Jeff. And what a go-getter. Anyway, fancy schmancy balloons. 797.
But it won't be. It's not. Wonderful, that's for
sure.
That's
true. 797, he's a balloonatic, ladies and gentlemen. 797-3229, 516 is the area code for fancy schmancy balloons. 516-797-3229. Want to remind everybody listening to this program that you probably are also going to like, if for some ridiculous reason you like this show, you might also like a show called Shalom Dammit that airs twice a week.
Definitely like Shalom Dammit.
On Long Island Cablevision, channel 115, Wednesday and Friday mornings at 7:30. Times will probably change in the early fall, but it's still Wednesday and Friday mornings, 7:30, channel 115, for a half hour of Rabbi Saul Solomon, his wit, his wisdom, and whatever else the rabbi can come up with. And by the way, if you're listening to this program, if you live in New York, you can also watch Shalom Dammit Sunday afternoons at 1:30 on Channel 67 on Manhattan Neighborhood Network. And if you don't have any of these cable stations, don't worry about it. If you have YouTube, just look for Shalom Dammit, and you can see every episode of The Rabbi's Show at YouTube.com. Okay, let's get to some other extras. What do you want to play for us?
Well, along with a lot of other people, I've been robbed.
Very nice. A little more of the Carol Channing here.
I love the Carol Channing.
I love
it.
Oh, here we go. Okay. Going to finish up the show now because we've got gospel coming in. Gospel's
Gospel's in the house.
Yeah, in the house. We're going to be saved now. But not before we bid farewell to George Firth, who wrote the book for Company and also wrote the play Precious Sons, which is one of the first shows I ever saw and reviewed on Broadway. not a bad play, but Farewell to George. And we'll remind everybody that you can hear 25 recent vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By anytime at the WGBB. Jeff, could you stop fiddling with the microphone, please? You can watch 25 old episodes of Dave's Gone By at the website for the radio station, am1240wgbb.com, or just click the link from davesgoneby.org to get there. I want to thank again Tom Soames for being part of the show. I want to thank my beloved and adorable and delightful wife, Joyce. I want to thank
your dog who did the interview.
And Bowles. I've got to thank Bowles, too. And thank you, Jeff Goodman, as well. And Mom and Dad Lefkowitz, shout out to them. I want to tell everybody that next week on the program, Jay Novick, Julius Novick, actually, as we should know him by, he was on our 2005 Tony Awards special. He's written a new book about Jewish theater in America, how Jews affected American theater, and how Jewish culture was affected by American theater.
Are we going to get to talk about my trip to Las Vegas?
We probably will. I'll let you know. So Jay Novick, I think, is next week, and then the week after, we've got Jeremy Schoenfeld, who's an up-and-coming Broadway and theater and cabaret composer, singer, and songwriter. So one of those two next week and one of those two the week after. And at some point, we will also talk to Jeff about his exciting week in Las Vegas. But for now, it's time to leave the neighborhood. But I will be back next week, next Sunday, August 24th, with the 288th episode of Dave's Gone By.
Wow.
Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And Jeff Goodman.
Wishing you good night, heavy petting.
Oh, and gone by.